Blog Talk Radio.
Make sure you season it well with respect. Well, I'll push the kick button and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, because this is a fruit bat free program. You are listening to the Act by Color Only. Once again, this is your host and your friend, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you all the way from Durham, North Carolina. And if you would like to call into the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And if you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter, but once again, please be aware of the aforementioned curse of the fruit bat. I will not tolerate character assassinations, ad hominem attacks, random insults, excessive profanity, trolling, things of that sort. If you think it would be wise for you to engage in these type of activities, then I will push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Just be respectable in your interactions on this program. So, having said all that, let the party begin. Oh boy, what can I talk about this week? I think that may be the stupidest question anyone could ask for any week in during this year, as this year has been a media bonanza of what to talk about. And I mean, like I said, this year it's been easy to put together a show. You can pretty much put together a show within a few minutes. You know, you just say, oh, okay, there we go. Okay, let me just take my pick of the current events that are going on and let me stamp these on and boom, let me do a show. You can do a show in about 5 minutes. But it takes a little bit of preparation. And but it's gotten easier during the last year because, you know, things that are just going on. And let me just start out by saying this. I want my country back. The country that we live in right now has become almost totally unrecognizable. Things you wouldn't have imagined, I don't know, 30, 20, maybe even 10 years ago, you wouldn't have imagined us going through what we are going through right now. Wokeness has swept the land, poison. We have been poisoned by politics in every area of life. And it's gotten to the point where you have to be careful of how you speak because someone might point out and say you're a microaggressor or you're a racist or, you know, some of these other little cute little terms that they like to float around there today. And you really can't speak your mind in today's society like you should be. You know, we call America the land of the free and the home of the brave, but I think it's become the land of the cowards, land of the oppressed, and the home of the cowards, basically. Now, I still believe in the underlying concept of America being the land of the free and the home of the brave, but there are certain people within our leadership, the elites, if you will, that want to wear down our freedoms. And they want to dictate to us that the freedoms we enjoy really aren't freedoms because it oppresses other people. And, you know, it makes other people uncomfortable. So it really isn't freedom. But they're here to correct, so to speak, these mistakes. And the country I live in today is vastly different from the country I lived in growing up. Now, we had our issues back then, you know. I grew up in the era of Nixon and Carter and Ford and Reagan. I grew up in that era. And those eras had their special set of circumstances and challenges to overcome. But never would I have imagined that we would live in a country that we live in today. We are being run by a dictator named Joe Biden. Yes, he is a dictator. Whenever you get up there and you talk about, oh, it's making me sick that these people aren't getting vaccinated and you better get vaccinated and all that crazy mess, he's a dictator. And to be honest with you, for the life of me, I never thought that anyone could ever be as bad or worse than Barack Obama. But I stand corrected. And if anyone could be worse than Joe Biden right now, boy, I tell you, this country is in a lot of trouble. I'm just going to be honest with you. But we are living in a time of where we are being forced. Our freedoms are just being tossed out of the window. Our freedoms are being forced from us. You know, they tell us, you know, this is not about your freedom or your liberty. You just got to do what the right thing is to do. You know, governator Arnold Schwarzenegger made that pretty clear to us a few weeks ago, saying, screw your freedom. When he came to this country the year I was born, 1968, and he went through the process of becoming a citizen, but he wants to say, screw your freedom. Yeah, and like my wife said, where he comes from is communist. But he comes over here basically and brings the same principles that his country had, and he brings them over here and says, okay, you all need to be like my country. Like a lot of people who are immigrating to this country, they're like, nah, the United States is screwed up. Well, if the United States is so screwed up, then why are you risking your life and your liberty to come here to take opportunity of what we have here? If you're just going to bring the same principles you brought from your country and try to implant them here, how the heck are you going to come over here and you're saying, oh, well, we're leaving our country because we don't have the opportunities, we're being oppressed, yada, 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 and then you come here and you try to bring those same principles here? Why don't you stay in your country? That's the thing. A lot of people in places like Texas and Florida, they're concerned because They're getting an influx of people coming from California because they're like, hey, California sucks. And they're coming to these states like Idaho and Texas and Florida. And people in these states, they're afraid that the people in California, they're going to bring their same liberal Democrat philosophies with them. When it was the liberal Democrat philosophies that is the cause of them leaving that state in the first place. Man, prices are too high. You see the gas prices? Yeah, thank your liberal government leaders. And now that y'all's governor is not going to get kicked out, which he should be, you all got just what you deserve. Y'all got just what you deserve. California is done. People, California is through. It's done. It is done. I don't think California is ever going to recover. I really don't. And I don't mean to sound fatalistic or pessimistic or anything, but I don't believe California is going to recover. Now, for some decades now, people have said that California is going to suffer an earthquake and end up falling into the sea. Well, maybe that won't happen physically, but it might happen metaphorically. Because California, like I said, California's through. Stick a fork in them. They're done. But the people who are leaving California to go into Arizona, Idaho, and Texas, and all these other states because they want to escape the oppression in California, they say the average home price for a house in California is about $600,000. Now, the average person cannot afford a $600,000 home. I know I can't. Not unless I win the lottery or someone just says, hey, Vincent, I'm a long-lost uncle. I'll be dead tomorrow. Here, I want to give all my inheritance to you. Be like, oh, my goodness, okay. Yeah, then I can, you know, but under normal circumstances, no. I'll not be able to afford a $600,000 home. But people are afraid that when people immigrate from California to another state, they're going to bring their same philosophies with them. Because keep in mind, the reason why California is so screwed up is because its citizens keep voting these same people who are screwing them up. They keep voting them in every single year. There is no reason for Maxine Polluted Waters to still be in leadership. Or Nancy Pelosi to still be in leadership. But these are good examples of people who are screwing up the state of California. These people, they sit in Congress for I don't know how many years, for 30, 40, 50 years. They don't do anything. They don't help any causes. They just sit there. They collect the revenue from the taxpayers. And they live it good, and then they come out every now and then, and they bounce their lips about something that they're concerned about, and then they go back into their caves and hang upside down by their feet. They don't care about you. They'll get out there and act like they care about you, but they don't. And then they have the nerve to demonize people like Donald Trump and say that he's a racist, he hates women, he's a xenophobe, he's driving this country into the ground. And because their voices are louder, those are the voices that a lot of people usually listen to. And those are the voices that people take heed to. And of course their voices are louder because our national media wants to silence those that they don't agree with. And who do they not want to agree with? your typical conservative Christian rhetoric. That's who they don't want to listen to. And it's these type of people who are messing up our country. And people don't realize it. They don't realize, hey, we keep voting these people in every year. We keep voting them in. We keep voting them in. But things are not getting better. But Donald Trump is evil. As if Donald Trump is the reason why your state is so screwed up. And folks, let me tell you all something. It doesn't take much to understand that a lot of the things that have been affecting this country this year, just this year alone, it has nothing to do with Donald Trump. But everyone, a lot of these liberal hacks, they find it so easy to blame Donald Trump for our high gas prices or for our economy taking a dive. They find it so easy to keep blaming him. He's not in office. This stuff didn't happen. They want to blame him for the border crisis. This stuff didn't start happening until Applesauce Joe got into the White House. But then we will say, oh, yeah, that Afghanistan thing, yeah, that was Trump's fault because Trump made the deal with the Taliban. It's his fault. No, it isn't his fault. Trump had an exit strategy. Trump had the good sense to realize you cannot withdraw civilian people from a hostile country like Afghanistan unless you withdraw the civilians first. Leave your military behind so that they can protect the civilians leaving that country. Donald Trump had the good sense to realize that. Sleepy Joe didn't. Joe Biden was like, just bring them all over here. Mr. President, what about our military equipment? Get them out of there. Get them out of there. Get them out now. And he messed up everything. Just messed up the... And right now, we still have Americans who are still trapped over there. And Sleepy Joe, he just sits around with an air of indifference, like, oh, I got them out. I got everybody out. Yes, we're out. Then we had the terrorist attack at Kabul Airport, at the airport at Kabul. And people want to say, oh, it's Donald Trump's fault. No, it is not Donald Trump's fault. Y'all can sit there and bloviate that talking point all you want to. It is not Donald Trump's fault. Donald Trump had an exit strategy. He wanted the people to be out by May the 1st. And you all are not going to get me to believe that Donald Trump is the reason why we had all these incidents over in Afghanistan. The only reason why you believe that is because you've been led to hate Donald Trump and you don't want to give him the benefit of the doubt. So it's so easy for you to pin this on Donald Trump because Donald Trump is a person you hate. I call it hater syndrome. And here in this country, you know, we've been overtaken by wokeness. We got to be woke about everything. We got to pinpoint everybody's speech. Oh, wait a minute. Did you hear what he said? Oh, that might be a microaggression. Oh, he's wearing a MAGA hat. That means he's a racist. And we got to be woke about every little thing. And folks, I mean, this country has just turned absolutely batty, really. Now, let me share something with you guys. Oh, guys, as painful as it is for me to share this, sometimes when I do these shows, I don't do it with I don't do it with an air of delight. Some of these stories, they get so, they're real painful for me, because it just makes me want to hold my head down and just start shaking it. Like, oh my goodness, the stupidity, the ignominy. You all heard the story. I'm pretty sure you all have heard the story, or you've seen the pictures of the border agents interacting with the Haitian refugees at the border. I left a link in my show's description. You can check it out yourself. But when these pictures came out, people were like, oh my goodness, look at that. That border agent is whooping that black man with a whip. This is horrible. Look at what they're doing, and it's doing it to black people. Now, to be honest with you, I thought the person who had photographed these pictures, who had taken these pictures, I thought he did it to make it look like that, these agents were whipping people. But even the photographer has come out and said, when I took those pictures, I didn't see these border agents whipping anyone. So maybe the news media has set him up. I don't know. But, of course, the apostles of blackness had to jump into action. You know, Al Sharpton, he actually made it to the border to see what was going on. Of course, Al Sharpton, he can't let a good crisis go to waste because, he got to line his pockets with some green paper. Now, I will give Sharpton props for going to the border, because at least he's done a better job than our Kamala Harris.
Not quite.
But that's as far as I will go. That's only as far as I'll go. I'm not sitting here to sing the praises of Al Sharpton. You will never hear me sing the praises of Al Sharpton unless he has a radical change in his philosophy. So we see these pictures, and they're like, oh my goodness, they're beating black people. Oh, man. Now, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, they're running with it. Joe Biden says, okay, I'm going to prevent them from riding horses from now on because of those images. Oh, my goodness. It was so horrible. And I don't know if you all have forgotten about polluted waters, Maxine Waters. We ain't heard from her. We ain't heard much from her. I'll be honest with you. I haven't heard much from her in about a year and a half now. Because I was wondering why she was so quiet during Donald Trump's first impeachment trial. I was like, well, where's Maxine Waters? She was the main one talking about impeach 45, impeach 45, impeach 45. But when they impeached 45, I didn't hear a word from her. Like, yeah, we impeached that idiot. We impeached that guy with the golden retriever sitting on his head. We didn't hear her. But now, my wife, honey, stop laughing. I'm trying to do a show. But now, black people are being beaten at the border, so now Maxine Polluted Waters has found the strength to start bouncing her lips again. And she's saying things like, oh, this is worse than slavery. This is worse than what we witnessed during slavery. Oh, my goodness, will you look at this? First of all, now, Maxine, Maxine's got some years on her. She's in her 80s, but she's not old enough to have witnessed the horrors of slavery. So when she talks about this is worse than what we witnessed during slavery, you didn't witness anything, sweetheart. And Kamala Harris is putting her little 2 cents in. Joe Biden putting his little 2 cents in. But when you watch the video, which I'm pretty sure that they saw, they will see that the agents were not whipping anyone. Those were part of the reins on the horses that they were riding. And you're not going to get me to believe 1 second that these people over here talking about what is so horrible going on at the border, you're not going to convince me that these people actually believe that these black people are being beaten. You're not going to convince me of that. Because I'm pretty sure they know good and well that no Haitian people have been beaten by whips at the border. But they don't want to let a good crisis go to waste. And they want to play up that little talking point. Oh, this is white supremacy. Look at this. They still want to whoop black people. And the people who support them, they fall right in line. Oh, my goodness. Look at this. This is so horrible. They are still whipping black people. I thought we were in the 21st century. They're still whipping black people. Oh, the horror. No, oh, the stupidity. This is what you get when you get folks, like a friend of mine tells me, this is what you get when people are thinking while stupid, because they have no thought process. They don't allow their brain cells or their dendrites or whatever up in their brain cells to create a path to common sense up in their brains, and they just go by what they see. Oh, look at that. Black people being whooped. They know black people aren't being whipped, but they know you're too stupid to realize that, because you're too stupid just to go by their words. And that's why they do this. That's why they play up the narrative. That's why they play up these talking points, because they know that you are too stupid to understand that, hey, wait a minute, I know I'm seeing this, but wait a minute, is this actually what's going on? They know you're just going to jump all into the water. But see, this is the country we live in. The totalitarian states of stupidity. Or that should be the name of the United States if it ever falls totalitarian. This is crazy mess that's going on, people. This is just mind-boggling. And you got a lot of people that they're willing to look somewhere else to point the blame, but they're not willing to point the blame at themselves. Because, oh, we're the elites. And I saw those pictures, and I said, and when I heard the testimony from these people about how horrible this is going on down at the border, I said, and you're not going to get me to believe that these folks believe that is actually what's going on down there. And, of course, you know, they're going to take some jabs at Donald Trump. They're going to, you know, this is what Donald Trump created. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Donald Trump has no effect on policy now. He's not in the White House, people. This stuff didn't start happening until y'all's boy Joe Bite Me got in there. You know what? I'm going to have to kick my wife out of the kitchen, because every time I say something, she wants to show. She's disrupting my show, man. And that Joe Bite Me dig, I got that from Rush Limbaugh, because that's what Rush Limbaugh used to call him, Joe Bite Me. Yeah, I used to listen to Rush Limbaugh. You, yeah, live with it. Rush Limbaugh is probably the reason why I have this radio program right now. Yes, I used to listen to Rush Limbaugh. I agreed a lot with Rush Limbaugh. Did Rush Limbaugh affect my way of thinking? No, he didn't, because my way of thinking was already developed before I even knew there was a Rush Limbaugh. That's why when people say, oh, you get your rhetoric from Rush Limbaugh, you get your rhetoric from Fox News. No, uh-uh. My point of view was already formed before those two entities came to play. I just started listening to them because they agreed with my point of view. That's the only reason. But, like I said, you're not going to convince me that these people actually believe that that's what's going on at the border. They know it's not going on. They know it's not going on. But once again, we got to be woke. We got to be woke, people. And, of course, we all know where this wokeness starts. Or, well, we'll say this. This is where their wokeness gets manufactured. It's in our national universities and colleges. That's where it gets processed. Really, it starts at home. By parents who don't have the common decency to tell their kids what's right or wrong. Because the parents, they've been brainwashed by mainstream media as well. And then when our kids go off to these colleges, that mess gets processed. And when they come out of college, they are perfect robots for the left. And all the left has to do is push that button on their woke remote controls and get you to think the way that they do. Yesterday, and see, this is the reason why sometimes I want to take my wife off somewhere and have a nice, good talking to her, because my wife, she watches a lot of political news on YouTube. And I have to say that she's probably more savvy with a lot of stuff than I am. And I hate her for it. Because she will pull up these videos and I'm like, she'll be like, honey, have you heard of this? I'll be like, no. Oh, you got to watch this. And then when I watch it, I have to give her the side eye like, look, you just messed up my life, okay? But I saw this video yesterday about these students at Arizona State University. Once again, I got the link for it in my show's description. You can check it out. But I saw this and I said, now this is what I'm talking about. This is what I've been talking about. There were two white students. They were sitting in, I don't know if it was a student union or a library or whatever it was, but they were sitting there minding their own business. And then here come these two woke students. They came up to these white folks to tell them a little bit about themselves. And what triggered these two students was a bumper sticker was on one of the students' laptop saying that he supports the police. I think he said Police Lives Matter or something like that. And they were triggered by it. Why you got that bumper sticker on your laptop? That is racist. Racist? What's racist about saying Police Lives Matter? What's racist about it? What's so racist about it? Oh, that's racist. And they just went and just tore into these guys saying, you are in our space and in your space. What do you mean in your space? This is the university space, which means that any of us can be in this space if we want to be. But see, this is, they create these safe spaces because they want to create these vacuums where students can go, where they don't have to hear hateful speech, quote unquote, speech that they don't agree with. You know that's considered hate speech. And they talking about, oh, this is our culture and everything. And the white boy said, so me being white, that's not a culture? She said, no, it's not a culture. It's not. And the white guy was like, you got to be kidding me. And they said, you need to leave. You need to leave. And the guy said, well, why are you kicking us out? They said, we're not kicking you out. We're just asking you. You're kicking them out. How stupid can you be? When you're asking someone to leave, you're kicking them out.
All the way around. Oh.
And see, once again, I gotta put some electrical tape on my wife's lips because she keeps giving me advice. Now, my wife just said, now think about it. If it had been the other way around, though, yeah. Let's say it was a bunch of white boys came in and they said, "Hey, wait a minute, what are you doing with that Black Lives Matter sticker on your laptop? You need to get out of here. This is a safe space. This belongs to us." Man, Joy Reid will have a conniption fit. Joy Reid will be grinning from ear to ear. Oh, my goodness. She'll be licking her chops. Like Rosie O'Donnell about to consume a half gallon of ice cream. She will be licking her chops. Oh, my goodness. I got a good one for y'all today. It'll make national news all over the place. All we will hear is, oh, they're racist. They're members of the KKK. They're white supremacists. Then these girls had the nerve to say, now, see, this is an example of the violence that the white people are committing. They want no act of violence. They're just sitting there minding their business. And y'all the ones that came up to them and started with them. They were minding their business. Now, if you had a Black Lives Matter sticker on your laptop, wouldn't you be like, hey, don't let this sticker bother you? You know, I'm minding my business. It ain't none of your business. I got a Black Lives Matter. Well, then it ain't none of your business if they have a Police Lives Matter sticker on their laptop. That's racist. See, they chose to be a police officer and put on that badge so they could kill people. Man, I say, y'all got to be kidding me. I said, now, this is what our universities are turning out.
Somebody need to go protest there. Your parents need to go and protest and start telling them, teaching the kids.
This is the thing. But see, sweetie, this is the reason why the parents won't do it, because the parents, they buy into this logic, too.
They're going to colleges and protest that, and they're teaching the kids socialism.
I watched this thing. I said, you got to be kidding me. And see, and so when they showed it from a different point of view, I want to thank Officer Brandon Tatum for showing this on YouTube. He showed it from another angle. The two girls, they didn't look all that dark to me. Matter of fact, one of them looked like she could have passed for white. And, of course, they got the little body piercings. Yeah, let me tell you something. Oh, gosh. And these are the type of people that when they throw their hat in the ring and become president of the United States, they'll get a whole bunch of votes. Be like, man, shoot. And they don't deserve any. And I'm sitting here watching this. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Are you for real? And while we're on the police thing, I forget where I seen it, but I saw a picture today of two police officers. One was black, one was white. And they said the white police officer is an oppressor and that the black police officer is a neo-oppressor. And they said it doesn't matter if the police officer is black or white. They're in that job to support white supremacy.
Oh, wow.
I said, you got to be kidding me. They say, it doesn't matter if they're black or white. Their job is to help support white supremacy. So if a black guy pulls you over because you're doing 100 miles an hour in a 70-mile-an-hour zone, and he pulls you over for speeding, for breaking the law of speeding on the interstate, he's doing it because you're black and he's working for the white masters. In other words, you're saying that black police officer is a slave to white supremacy. That's what you're saying. How stupid can you get? I guess in some instances, some people can get real stupid, I guess. But I say, you got to be kidding me. Is this the country that I grew up in? It can't be. It can't be the country I grew up in. It just can't be. And I'm sitting here looking at this stuff, and I'm like, y'all got to be kidding me. Is this what it's come to? Now, I already said that California is probably a lost cause. I believe California is a lost cause. But is the rest of this country a lost cause as well? Because it might start with California and then it might gradually go to another state. And then another. And then next thing you know, you look up, oh, man, my freedom's gone. Oh, woe is me. Okay, but y'all taking away my freedom. Okay, I want my freedom back. Oh, no, you're not going to get your freedom back. It's going to take decades of war, revolution, and blood, your blood being shed, for you to get your freedom back. Because if these rascals take over this country, like I said, I don't want to sound fatalistic or pessimistic or anything like that, but it's not going to be easy to wrest this country out of their control. Because once they get into control, they're going to become oppressors. They're going to have an iron grip on this country. Just check out any other country that has been under communism. Cuba, China, Soviet Union. No, Australia hasn't gotten there yet. But they're on their way, too, because, you know, with their gun laws and everything. People, the alarm is being sounded right now. The watchman is in his tower sounding this alarm to you. Now, if things happen to go the wrong way, don't sit there and say, well, I didn't know this was happening. People have been warning you for decades. Well, why didn't someone tell us? People were telling you, but you know what you did when they were telling you? Oh, you're just a conservative. You're one of those racist conservatives. All you care about is oppressing women who want to have an abortion. All you care about is the white single male rhetoric. That's all you care about. But we're warning you today. And, you know, thank God that we haven't fallen completely communist. I really do believe that a lot of these other nations that have become communist, it's an example that God is showing us. This is what you can expect. And I believe that's the reason why the United States hasn't gone completely communist, because it's too many people in this country who know the truth. You got people in this country who have come from those communist countries warning the United States. Check out that lady from North Korea. She's saying that some of the things that she's seeing in the colleges, I forget her name, but she's saying some of what we are seeing in the colleges today is worse than what she experienced in North Korea. But still, we want to sit there, and even a person who has experienced this firsthand, we want to say they are oppressors, and they've experienced it. That's the reason why they're in America. That's why they fled countries like China and North Korea and Cuba and a lot of these other oppressive countries. And they're trying to warn you and say, look, I grew up in this country. I know what is going on. Oh, you're just another conservative hack. Okay, so when communism takes over this country, don't sit there and blame and say you weren't warned, because you're being warned now. You want to sit there and blame Fox News, which Fox News is not perfect, but you want to sit there and blame Fox News and all these other conservative stations? Don't sit there and say they didn't warn you, because they're warning you right now. As we speak, you are being warned. But a lot of you don't want to listen to the warnings because it cramps your style, because your dictators, the elite dictators in our government, they just push that woke button on that remote control and they get you to sing their songs for them. That's all it's about. And until you shake off that control and realize what is going on, they're going to continue to control you. They're going to continue to control you. Excuse me, I had a pause for a second there. But they're going to continue to control you. And some of you like to be controlled. I was telling a family member one time, I said, the government's job is not to take care of you. Oh, yes, it is. It is their job to take care of us. No, it isn't. Their job is not to take care of us. And I asked him, I said, you know, he's talking about taxing the rich and everything and stuff like that. I said, so suppose you're playing the lottery and you win $10 million. Wouldn't you like it if you got to keep your entire $10 million? No, the government got to get some of the money. See, you love to be controlled. And a lot of these people have been brainwashed into thinking the government is the supreme good in our country, and we got to obey our government. But if our government goes against our rights, our God-given rights, or they go against anything that God says, I'm not going to follow them. That's why, you know, I get so sick and tired of people, you know, you better vote, you better vote, you better vote. Because if the candidates you're voting for, let's say you do have a Democrat and a Republican, and we know this happens often, but let's say both the Democrat and the Republican, they support liberal causes. Who you going to vote for then? Well, you got to vote for the better of two evils. Nah, I ain't voting for you. If let's say both candidates say, yeah, I want you to vote for me, yada, 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 and both of them are like, you know, and I support a woman's right to choose. You still going to vote for the Republican? Because you got Republicans that believe that garbage. You still going to vote Republican? There been an election, I ain't vote for anyone. Because I ain't trust either one. Back when Barack Obama was running against Mitt Romney, I didn't want to make the mistake I did in voting for John McCain. But when he was running against Mitt Romney, I was like, nah, I ain't voting for either one of them. And that first time Trump was running for election, I was like, no, I'm not voting. Because I was like, you know what, if Mitt Romney is bad, then Trump is really going to be bad. because, you know, he's a celebrity and, you know, he's this and everything. But here's the thing about Trump, though. When Trump got into office, he made an inkling that he was going to do something. He didn't just get there and say, oh, hey, let me prop my feet up on this desk in the Oval Office. No, Trump went around doing something. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. I've been proven wrong. So when Trump was up for re-election, yeah, he got my vote. But of course, during that election, and no one's going to convince me that this election was not stolen. It was. How in the world Donald Trump gains 11 million more votes than he did the first time, including a significant number of the black vote? They said that many black people didn't vote for a Republican since the 70s. And you are definitely not going to convince me that Joe Biden garnered 15 million more votes, 15 or 16 million more votes than Barack Obama. You ain't gonna convince me of any different. Oh, you just need to suck it up. You just mad because your boy lost. Well, that's what we heard for 4 years when Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton. Y'all were mad because he beat Hillary Clinton, and y'all would believe every little lie said about Donald Trump about why he won. But you all act like you all were the compassionate ones. Oh, Donald Trump lost. You got to suck it up. Well, we didn't hear you all suck it up for 4 years when Donald Trump won. Did we? No, y'all didn't suck it up. Y'all, some of y'all still believe in that Russian collusion garbage. Some of y'all still believe it. It hasn't even been proven. Matter of fact, it's been proven that he didn't collude with the Russians to win the election. And you all think that Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin are buddies? Slapping high fives and everything. You got another thought coming. I don't think Putin really likes Trump. Oh, he loves Joe Biden. Oh, especially since Joe Biden gave them a go on their pipeline into Eastern Europe when he closed down our pipeline here, resulting in our high gas prices right now. But, of course, you're going to ignore that. Y'all choose to ignore that. But it's two things that are killing this country. It's wokeness and politics. Those are two things that are really messing this country up. Of course, you hear it in the rhetoric of some of the people in our news media, and you all know, for the past couple of weeks, I've been going on a tear on one Joy Reid because this woman is a dingbat to the dingbattiest. She's more dingbattier than the dingbattiest person you can think of. I'm pretty sure you all know about the case involving the fiance. What's her name? Petito. She went missing. They found her remains, and they're like, "Yeah, this is her," and everything. And of course, the Apostles of Blackness had to go all woke on this one. Now, any of y'all out there ever heard of missing white woman syndrome? I ain't never heard of that before. I ain't never heard of that. But Joy Reid gets up there. She said, "This is what they call missing white woman syndrome." I thought it was something that Joy Reid had made up on the spot. But this was an actual term. I think it was created 20 years ago. And I'm sitting there like, wait a minute. They actually got something called missing white woman syndrome? Oh, we're more concerned about the white women who go missing, but the black folk, we ain't concerned about them. Let them die. Hope they rot. Ha ha. Let them all die out. I say, you got to be kidding me. But once again, see, Joy Reid, she's a token black woman. And she has to abide by the demands of her masters in the mainstream media. Now, they want to talk about conservative black men being, you know, token, but really the tokens are the Democratic liberal black folks. And you know who controls them? Liberal white folks. But they want to sit here and talk about, you know, white folks are messing up everything and stuff, but here they are following white folks themselves. But she gets up there talking about missing white woman syndrome. I had never heard that term. I said, that is the stupidest thing I think I ever heard in my life. Oh, we're just going to report on this woman being missing because she's white. And I say, y'all got to be kidding me. But see, Joy Reid, that's all she wants to report on is racism. What's going on, you know? Cause we black people, we oppress. Even though I'm sitting here bloviating like an idiot and getting paid millions of dollars every year to bloviate like an idiot, but the white men are still oppressing us. And they allow me to sit here to be an idiot because, you know, I got a PhD in idiotology. So, you know, and I get paid millions of dollars to sit here and talk like an idiot. And I listen to some of these people talk and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I had never heard that term before. Missing white woman syndrome. We only reporting on the white people that get missing, but black people, you know, they can just go jump in the lake. And it's things like this that cause me to bury my head in my hands and start shaking it. Cause I'm like, these people, I mean, for real. But anyway, that's the end of the first hour of the program. Let me go into my advertising and I shall see you on the other side. You are listening to Black by Color Only on CNM Radio.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, and, of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action. Look how he makes eye contact with his person. That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance will come in with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Peek-a-boo. Peek-a-boo. Smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on. Smile. Oh, honey. Is he still not smiling?
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah. Maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby. I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of a dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No big, joyful smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Well, well, welcome to the other side, people. We are back on the show. And if you'd like to call in, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. 646-478-5284. Something I wanted to mention, too, and I don't know why I keep failing to mention this on this program, but I have a blog called blackbycoloronly.com. And I've noticed that I've been neglecting to fill that blog with, you know, stories. I'm the only one who works on it. So sometimes it becomes a little harrowing because it takes some work to put some blog posts and whatever up there. And I'm still working on it and whatever. But I would like to invite you all to check it out, blackmycoloronly.com. Tell me what you think. You know, give me your own, give me your detailed analysis of it or whatever. And just let me know what you think about it. You know, I've been neglecting it. I haven't been as consistent on it lately that I should be. But, you know, I'm going to try to, you know, I'm going to try to work that out. But just go there, check it out. I'm working on an article right now. I should have had it up last night, but it might be up either tonight or tomorrow night. So, you know, just look out for that. But anyway. I started another channel on YouTube called Black by Color Only. I haven't set any videos up there yet. I'm, you know, trying to get myself prepared for that. And hopefully I'll be, you know, setting videos up on that platform pretty soon as well. But having said all that, let me do something about these fruit bats flying around here. I've been neglecting it for months now. I need to get that thing fixed. But anyway, you all know when you hear that sound, that's the fruit bat alarm. That's my warning to those of you all who are on the phones. If you're coming here to start some nasty business, I'm going to let you know you best not even come on the program. I will shut you down. You know, I will not tolerate excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, random insults, trolling, things of that sort. It will prompt me to push the kick button or to push the X, and you will be kicked off the show, okay? I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Just be respectable in your interactions on this program, okay? Having said all that, let me go to the phones, and I think I know who this is. That looks like a familiar. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, fruit bat. Fruit bat reporting in. How you doing?
Doing good. How you doing, Bianchi?
I'm doing fine. I got my heard that noise. And you can call me. You can also start calling me Reverend Bianchi. I got my card.
Yeah, you told me that last week.
Oh, okay. I forgot. Well, you know, here's some things that's going on. You know, DeSantis appointed a Nigerian-born, came here when he was five. He's a Surgeon General for the state of Florida. Got impeccable credentials. Impeccable credentials. And his credentials is better than Fauci's. He's a Surgeon General. His name is Joe Lodapo.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
in a news conference with DeSantis, he made a point to say that he's against forced vaccinations, mandates. And he also made reference to masks. And he basically said people should do their own research and confer with their doctor.
Yeah.
And I said, just give it a day or two and watch the news media and other black races attack him.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, did they ever. Black News, Atlanta Black Star. You've heard that before.
Oh, yeah.
Put a headline out, and saying that he's against vaccinations.
Oh, wow.
Well, the man never did say that. They're a damn lie.
Yeah.
You see how these idiots do, man? And nobody says nothing. Nobody says nothing.
Mm-hmm. They did the same with Nicki Minaj last week. You know, she didn't say, don't get the vax. She said she was going to get the vax, and now they're labeling her as an anti-vaxxer. You know.
You know, I'm about ready to start duking it out.
You and me both, man.
Because I don't want to get another 20 years and be too old to start swinging. Now, here I got another thing I want to talk about. Eatonville, Florida, which is supposed to have been the second black U.S. community, second black community in the U.S., it's where Nora Herson hails from. It was a black town. And apparently something's going on in that town. Oh, I know what it is. Everybody is practically empty. And there's a mural on the wall that was struck the attention of this white guy from Hungary. And he's going to save it. I think he's going to either refurbish it right there or do something else with it. But my question again, where is black folks at? They over there worrying about taking down Robert E. Lee's statue, Stonewall Jackson's statue. But your own commemorabilia, you're just letting it go to pot.
Yep.
And that brings dimension. You remember Sandra Bland?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She was in jail. Her bail was what? $500.
Yeah.
But guess what? Rosa Parks, when she was down south and did what she did and got ran out of town, and she went to Detroit. And she had a house there. Well, of course, she's dead now. And the house is in Detroit. At least it was. And it was coming up upon condemnation where it was going to be demolished. And the city wanted, guess what? Guess what? The city wanted $500 to keep from demolishing it. No Negro in Detroit came up with $500.
Wait a minute. Whoa,
you know
whoa,
who
whoa,
came
whoa.
Up with
whoa.
The $500? A white man from Germany.
He bought
the house, got with her daughter. She didn't have $500. So what he done, he had the house disassembled, paid $13,000 to ship it to Germany. Some volunteers, all white, worked to reassemble it, and now it's a museum. It's a traveling museum. Right now it's in Naples, Italy.
Wait a minute.
Where are the black people?
Wait a minute. Back up here. They offered $500 to help to restore this house?
No. What it was on condemnation. I guess it was because of back taxes. And the city of Detroit wanted $500. If not, they were going to tear it down and possess the lot.
Wow.
And city workers that was going to tear it down knew about it. And I'm sure they shared the information to other people in town, like Aretha Franklin. She's dead now. But others. Yeah. And nobody came up with $500. Nobody came up with $500 to bail out Sandra Bland.
$500.
No meager dollars.
None of these black leaders who live in mansions and drive in Rolls Royces and everything, not one of them came up with $500. And now Rosa Parks' home is in Naples, Italy.
Naples, Italy.
Man,
and people
got to
are paying to come in and see it.
I don't want these guys coming up to me telling me nothing. Don't even come to me talking to me. Man, you got to be kidding. Y'all couldn't even come up with $500. Are you serious?
Well, you can Google it. It's there.
Man,
Guardian News has got a story on it. And all they want to do is go around and want to take down the statues of American soldiers who fought in American wars, like Robert E. Lee, Stonewall Jackson, and others. What kind of damn sense does that make?
I mean, really. And the thing that gets me about the Robert E. Lee thing, these rascals, they're always going around telling, oh, you need to study history. You need to study history. No, you need to study your history, because if you did study your history, you will find out that Robert E. Lee did not support slavery. His wife and his daughter owned a school to teach black people how to read, which was illegal in the South, and he was not a racist. But no, oh, he fought for the side of the South, which I don't agree with him fighting for the South. I don't. But the man was not a racist. He didn't support slavery. But you know, all of a sudden,
you know why he
You
know why he fought for the South, don't you?
Because
Lincoln wanted him to lead the Northern troops.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
He said he was not going to fight against his state, Virginia.
Yeah.
Which I take my hat off to him for.
Yeah. he was loyal to his state.
He's loyal to his people, yes, to his state. And see, here's the thing. Those states voted to join the Union, and they had a right to vote to leave. That's their prerogative.
Yep.
Just like Texas voted to leave Mexico and join on to the United States. But I like getting in the conversation with these fools, because there's nothing like making them go silent. Like the movie Run Silent and Run Deep.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about Haiti.
Oh boy.
I think I said last week, Haitians should have went to Dominican Republic.
Yep.
You look up, you Google Dominican Republic, comes back and tells you about all the resorts, all the pristine beaches, the nice restaurants, and entertainment spots. It's doing fine over there. They should have went to the Dominican Republic and seek humanitarian help.
Yep.
Or Cuba. Well, I see where the U.S. is taking some down to a location near Guantanamo prison.
Yeah.
In Cuba anyway. So somebody organized for Haitians not only to come out of South America, there was some down there. I don't know what they were doing. I guess it was working. It also come from their country. Somebody organized water, food, and transportation. And then Biden T-shirts. Well, why didn't you have them to go until the Seek Humanitarian Aid? The United States gave Haiti $285 million this year already. And I see where Joe Biden has made available $6.4 billion for Afghans to relocate. That's a bunch of bullcrap. And Democrats don't say nothing.
They don't. They don't.
But
call
if it
them
was
out.
Donald
they don't
Trump,
call them out.
You know, if you could have, if you had built that wall, it would have been less than that.
Yeah.
Those Haitians
that
were down in Del Rio, on the United States side. Okay, they shouldn't have been there like that. Should stay over there in Mexico. Here's another thing. The picture that they were talking about where the Customs and Border Patrol.
Unleash.
Yeah, the Customs and Border Patrol agent was on horse. Because in that type of terrain, the most logical thing for transporting to get around is horses.
Exactly.
Where are you going to ride, your Tesla?
Shoot, I would ride that on a straight street.
That particular Haitian that was shot, and you know the photographer that shot that picture, say what's being claimed was not there.
Yeah, exactly.
But the particular Haitian, he was trying to avoid authority. And what did he have in his hand? He had food.
Mm.
And probably some fruit.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? You do not bring food and fruit into the United States unless it's checked.
Yep.
Because it can contain pests and other parasitic larvae that can be very, very harmful and detrimental to U.S. crops and cattle and poultry. That's why come the wall is designed for people to come through checkpoints. Not just walk through any damn way where you want, not to come up one side of the wall, throw your baby over and wonder what happened and did it land right or whatever. But oh no, these damn Democrats and the ones that support them, they just run wild.
Yeah.
Now
exactly.
Kamala Harris is jumping in there. Now she should be brought to task on that. She's trying to give an order to keep these agents from doing their job.
Yeah.
And then you got black folks like Al Sharpton going down there. And I'm going to tell you something, Al Sharpton. Just because these people, skin color, kind of favor yours, that don't mean that they are your kin.
That's right.
They probably wouldn't want to have jack to
get
do with black Americans.
Yeah. He's trying to get paid. That's why he's doing what he's doing. He's trying to get
and
paid.
Him, and a whole bunch of others down there that's making all these ridiculous statements because these Haitians, and they ain't lily white. Now people going to open their mouth and shit and cuss and carry on. Excuse me. But here's the point. Believe it or not, these so-called blacks who don't have white skin, they do not identify as being black.
They don't.
Africans don't identify that. Take Nigeria, for instance. Nigeria is a nation. Ethnic group, Yoruba. Language, Yoruba. Another Nigerian ethnic group, Igbo. Igbo. Language, Igbo. Another group, Hausa. Language, Hausa. Nationality, Nigerian. They all black. So if they all black, wonder why come they don't identify as being black.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the stuff you put up with.
And while we're on that situation with Haiti down there, you know, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, you're not going to get me to believe that these politicians and everybody actually believe that Haitians are being whipped by agents at the border. They don't believe that themselves. They just want to blow the narrative out of the water. They just want to sit there and try to make an issue about this. They don't believe that that's what's going on down there. Kamala and Joy Reid and all the rest of them. They don't believe that that is what's going on. They see some picture and they're look and you know like Maxine Waters, she's starting to bounce her lips again, you know. They do not believe that that is what's going on down there. But hey,
how many bodies was down there? 5,000. You go to Maxine Waters' You go to Maxine's Water District, you got 4 or 5 times more people on the street.
Yeah, yeah,
than that.
Yeah, exactly. it's all crazy, man. I mean, you look at it, you're like, my goodness, you know, that, and it shows you what they are really about. They're not really about compassion for black people or anything like that. They just want to push a certain narrative so they can get paid. Just like Booker T. Washington said, you know, they just want to get paid. That's all. They just want to keep these grievances before everybody's faces so they can get paid. That's all it's about.
And you know the sad thing about it, seemingly don't nobody know this but me.
Yeah.
You know, I came from Ghana one time. One time I had to go through France. I don't know where I was coming from. I went through France. I had some medicine that was made by a traditional herbal doctor. It was some STD medicine that Africans here like to get. And when I went through customs in France, they took it.
Wow.
They said, you can't put this on our planes. It's not a prescription. Your name's not on the bottles. I was coming from Ghana. I had some avocados. Just came in the season. Those avocados were big as grapefruit. I got in the United States, came through custom. And they went in my luggage and took it. So I can't bring this into the country. It's agriculture products. And see, they give you a declaration sheet that you fill out, which you're supposed to indicate any money and indicate any food stuff, produce, any other items, souvenirs. And you're supposed to put that on that declaration. Now, if they find something that's not on that declaration, they're going to fine you.
Yeah.
If you put it on there, they won't bother you. They just tell you can either take it or you got to leave it. They ask you, have you been around animals? Have you been around produce? Like walking through a market? And you say yes, well, they're going to take you and check you out. They're going to take you in a room. And they find something on your clothing, they're going to make you take that clothing off and wash it right there.
Yeah.
They're going to check your hair. They're going to check your fingernails. If you've been in a poultry house, you know, in most poultry houses, you got to sanitize yourself before you go. You walk in, you step into a little vessel of liquid, then you put on rubber boots, and sometimes they make you put on a Tyvek suit.
Okay.
You're in an airlock. Then once you get all that on, your hair is covered, then you can go on into the poultry house with the chickens. Now, that's when it's done the right way, because those houses are pressurized, because they don't want to catch diseases like Newcastle or Salmonella.
Okay. Yeah.
Or darkened beetles getting in there and killing up a big old flock of chickens. So blacks in America and probably others, well, I'm talking about them now. We can talk about others some other time. They don't know jack about this. They think everything is just like going to KFC, putting in an order and getting it with your biscuit and your mashed potato and slaw. That's how it is.
Yeah.
But that's not how it is.
No. No. I mean, and we're so clueless as to what's going on. And see, that's why, you know, basically the our so-called black leaders, they determine when the tide is high or when the tide is low. You know, they determine, you know, how we respond to certain things based on what they say. You know, I know you've seen on the news this week about that restaurant up in New York. You know, the Black Lives Matter, they're talking about starting some stuff over that, you know, which...
Because they make people ain't got no mask, they make them sit outside.
Yeah,
I think I heard about
you
it.
You know, Yeah, and Black Lives Matter, they making a to-do about it. Even though, in a way, I have to agree, and don't take this with a grain of salt when I say this. In a way, I agree with them about this thing, but the thing about it is, it's not about race. And for so long, people were talking about this. They said this is exactly what was going to happen with these COVID-19 laws, and you know, you got to show your passport and everything, because they realized that 75% of Black people haven't gotten inoculated. And then when they start turning up, you know, to these places and they have to show their ID, they said the Black people are going to act up and they're going to start yelling racism. And that's exactly what Black Lives Matter is doing right now. Now they're saying the ruckus they want to start is going to be worse than what they did last year with George Floyd.
But well, you know what? They need to get their ass kicked.
I'd be out there. I get a whole army of police officers out there with their nightsticks, and I say, any of them start trouble, you know what to do.
Whoop some butts. You know, I'm gonna tell you something else. Some of these Syrian refugees, I mean, these Afghan refugees, might end up in these police departments. See, they don't have no sensitivity. They don't have no sensitivity for civil rights or the Constitution.
No, they don't. I mean, just ask that girl that got killed by that Somalian police officer. Where was it, in Michigan? I forget where it was. Mm-hmm. It was around that area. I forgot that girl's name. But it was a white lady, and she got killed by a Black police officer from Somalia.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't hear that on the news too much.
Mm-mm. So those are the things that I wanted to speak on, and to go to show you how phony these people are. Rosa Parks' house gone. The Eatonville, Florida. If it wasn't for this white man who's coming out and trying to save a lot of stuff there, blacks would just let it go to deterioration. What they want whites to do it, what they want.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I'm starting to learn when they say, well, they won't. Well, they is whites. That's what that is.
Yeah. And I think the same thing happened with Martin Luther King's memorial, too. His children got to fighting over that, and it fell into disrepair. And then they gave it up to the National Park Service or something like that. And, you know, instead of wanting to preserve his legacy or whatever, they just gave it up to the National Park Service and had them deal with it.
Well, these Negroes ain't going to do a damn thing but talk and whine.
Yeah, I mean, really.
And that's the way it's going to be.
Yep.
And see, the thing is, they got white folks conditioned. Well, when you call them a racist, they just freeze.
Yeah.
I tell why. I say, what the heck you freeze? When somebody call you racist, call them a racist back.
Exactly. That's what I say. Get a spine, white folks.
Because to be truthful, the saving that the United States need, it ain't going to come from blacks. Let's be truthful. Whites going to have to get off their lazy ass and do what they need to do to turn this stuff around. Now, blacks can do some things. They are doing it, but it's not enough for them. Blacks are scared of retaliation by other blacks, especially when it comes down to the employment, being that so many of them are working in government agency positions.
Yeah.
Post offices, public school districts, health facilities. Them teachers unions would get rid of that black teacher if they ever found out that they was conservative.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, her desk ain't tidy. Look at it. And all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's the reason why I come. And I don't say it's the sole reason, but I bet it has a lot to do. That's why come they don't give a damn if these kids don't get their education and
yeah,
become professionals. Because if they got their education and became professional, they wouldn't have to work in them damn containment places.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Ain't nothing they can do to me. Not one earthly thing. Unless some fool want to try to do something personally.
I mean,
I wouldn't advise on that. But they ain't going to take my, they ain't going to make me lose my job the way they did Hubert Harrison back during the Harlem Renaissance. When Booker T. Washington went to the post office and Du Bois tried to get the man fired. Like Du Bois called Marcus Garvey a monkey.
Mm.
And guess, you know, in his Black Star venture, it wasn't white folks that told on Marcus Garvey. It was blacks.
Yep, certainly was.
Du Bois and that NAACP bunch. Why is that? Because he was compiling a following. And he had a big following. They don't like that stuff.
Yeah.
Them are Negroes.
Crab in the bucket.
Public school district don't want to see what? School choice with vouchers. Parents can put their child where they want to. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Them are little Negroes. You can't take them.
Yeah.
And that's what they do. They use black kids in these school systems to enrich themselves in wages, salary, careers, pensions, superintendent salaries. We have a school district down in St. Louis called Wellston. It's dissolved now. You talking about some corruption, brother. They had a superintendent by the name of Stodgel. And I don't know if I think it was Bill Stodgel, but I'm not sure because there was two of them. They both did, as far as I know. The school district had about 5,000 students in it. Wilson was a black town at the then. Whites moved, of course. Stodger had 5,000 students in it. And it was a failing school district, as, you know, usually goes. They was paying that man $350,000 a year. He was the highest paid superintendent in the state of Missouri.
Seriously?
A black board, president of the board was Dorothy Moore. Another board member who used to fight them was Hayes, Larry Hayes. He's dead now. $350,000 a year. So you know where a lot of kickbacks went and where they came from.
Yep.
So the stuff they talk about that whites do, blacks do it 10 times more.
Yeah, exactly.
If you ever listen to
it. See, that's the thing. That's the thing. You know, they're 10 times more guilty than what they accuse others of doing, you know, but they want to keep pointing at the others. They want you to look at where they're pointing instead of putting the attention on themselves and say, hey, well, what about you? What about what you're doing and everything? No, get it off of me. It's him. That's how they do. That's the liberal modus operandi, you know, so to speak. Let me get this. I might. This might be him that I'm bringing onto the show. I'm bringing him on right now. Uh-oh. Hello, welcome to the show,
Vince. Before I go any further, I gotta give a warning to Brother Reverend Bianchi. Now, Brother Reverend Bianchi called in and attested to the fact, apparently, that he's a fruit bat. Now, I'd like to warn him that I have installed a set of fruit bat gun-laying radar-directed anti-aircraft artillery, And if you're going to be a fruit bat, Brother Bianchi, please change your transponder so you're sending IFF signals that will not identify you as a fruit bat.
Yes, sir.
I wouldn't want to accidentally shoot you down. Because, look, I just heard some really interesting stuff from you, man. I mean, really, I've been taking notes. I'm going to look into some of this stuff when I get back to what you said about those various ethnic groups in Africa, Yoruba, and some of the things you said about the Haitians. So I got a little bit of research to do based on the stuff you just said. So keep up the good work. But, look, I'd like
What do you think about Rosa Parks' house?
Yeah, that's another thing I said. What a story. Man, you know, you talk about all of these people, talking about, oh, the movement, and we got to preserve the memory of the movement. And here, for almost a negligible sum, you know, her house could have been preserved as this German man did. And, you know, one thing I do like about Europeans, many of them do have a sense of history. And he recognized this was a historical landmark worthy of preservation and took it upon himself to do it when the woman's own hometown couldn't find any takers to do so. I thought it was a great story, and I'm glad to know of it. But I'd like to talk about this thing with these horses and the border patrol at the border. You know, let me explain. This is my personal experience with horses. My late wife, bless her soul, loved horses. And we'd go back horseback riding, but she decided she wanted to own a horse. So, look, babe, we cannot afford a horse. She said, oh, yes, we can. I know a friend that's got a over-the-hill dressage-trained horse, and he's going to let us have it for just a pittance. He's a great horse, great temperate, great riding animal. All we got to do is pay the upkeep fees for the horse. You know, being my wife and she wants something I loved, okay, yeah, we'll get the horse. I wound up enjoying this animal and riding this animal very much with her and everything else. It was great. But one thing I learned about riding a horse, now, my horse's name was Robbie. Robbie had been trained in dressage, in which he's trained to respond to almost both very obvious and also imperceptible signals from the rider. For instance, and most of the techniques you use in riding a horse are based upon the psychology of the horse. And you got to remember, horses are essentially prey animals. They respond to two things, to feelings of pressure and to perceived threats. Remember, they're prey animals. You know, they get hunted by grizzlies, and they get hunted evolutionarily. They're hunted by grizzlies and mountain lions and even coyotes if they're young horses and things like that. So they're prey animals. And what I learned was if I wanted to get a horse to maneuver to the left, I would take my right spur and kind of dig it into its flank. It would move away from the pressure to the left. Similarly, if you want a rapid movement of a horse in a direction, particularly when you're trying to control the horse in a crowd where the horse might trample somebody, you got split reins, you take the reins, you twirl them near the eye of the horse, opposite the side you wish the horse to move in. The horse moves away from those twirling reins in its mind, it thinks it's moving away from him, because it perceives the twirling rein as a possible threat. So they were twirling their reins in order to get the horse to move away from running over the illegal criminal aliens trying to get in the country. And other things they were doing were clearly efforts in which any well-trained horseman would do in order to control a horse when you're, A, trying to use the horse to block the person coming against where you want them to go, and also when you're trying to not run them over. He's trying to do both. And these men were clearly skilled. They had well-trained horses, and they had them under complete control. Now, when I got to seeing a semi-brain-dead, stupid, idiotic, demagogic, simple-minded moron like Kamala Harris get up there and say what she did. And you notice when she said what she said, she had that weird laugh, you know, which is clearly a tell, because she knows what she's saying. She may be stupid, But she's smart enough to know she's inadequate, incompetent, facile, and shallow. And she knows her remarks are too. And that nervous laugh is an indication of maybe you'll like me and you won't notice how silly I am. But anyway, she did it when she was talking about these brave, dedicated professionals at the border who have this almost thankless job from the people who are responsible for directing and supervising them, who are condemning them for doing their duty that they won't. It was one of the most disgusting moments I have ever seen in the leadership of the United States of America to hear these two imbeciles, the moron that is that other moron's, not boss, but president. The president by two morons reinforcing each other. Shameful.
Yeah.
Absolutely shameful.
And Sarge, if I can get in.
For today. And Vince, have you seen the results of the Arizona audit? And if you haven't, can I give you a little detail about it? Because already the press is trying to get ahead of it, and they started leaking this information that the recount showed that Arizona, that Trump lost Arizona by an additional 360 votes. And I'm going to tell you why it's all meaningless.
Uh-oh.
Is it okay?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, here's the thing. This was an audit, not a recount. If you're going to recount using the same flawed, fraudulent practices that gave us the outcome in the first place, it is of no surprise to me that you might even come up with another 3,600 fraudulently cast votes if all you're going to do is a recount of something that's already illegitimate. What the audit sought to do was find irregularities, violations of law and procedure. And here is what the letter from the President, Karen Fann, President of the Arizona State Senate, this is one paragraph that she wrote to Mark Brnovich, who's the Arizona Attorney General. And listen to what she, one of the primary and most important conclusions in the audit. I quote, "The audit found that Maricopa County overwrote the entire activity log in its election management system. This was accomplished by churning more than 37,000 identical queries several days after the court ordered Maricopa County to produce its election materials to the Arizona State Senate. Maricopa County also failed to provide documentation sufficient to reconcile duplicated ballots to corresponding original ballots, refused to cooperate with the audit, and directed its vendors not to cooperate with the audit either." Now, that's only scratching the surface based upon what this audit seems to have uncovered. It is beyond belief what they said they have, and this is kind of a summary of it, and this is shameful if it's true. There was a surge in duplicate votes arriving after the election with thousands of unverified or unreadable or blank signatures. Thousands of verified stamps, quote, verified in quotes, appeared under an envelope flap on those late votes, which can only happen after someone opens the envelope, which is a method of cheating or changing the vote. You had hundreds of two-voter IDs associated with the same person at the same address. Over 9,000 voters were sent one ballot, but signed and sent in two ballots. Both were counted. Over 1,500 votes from 2,177 precincts were counted in excess of the number of people who showed up to vote. Over 250,000 early votes were counted, but did not have corresponding return addresses to where the ballot was sent. Voting machines were tied to the Internet with obsolete antivirus protection. No corrections or software updates were done despite warnings. Maricopa failed to retain security logs. Numerous other updates, downloads were done, but no virus updates were done in violation of election security laws. No validation of an election should happen without following those laws. all passwords for all users, get this now, was the same password as was initiated during August 2019 installation of software on the machines, making it intentionally difficult to track individual users. Unapproved hardware configuration, allowing hard drive sharing of data, including data having outside purposes. Over 85,000 scanned ballot files were deleted from October 28, 2020 to November 5th, 2020, with no method to trace where those files went. Over 1 million election data files were intentionally deleted through March 2021 against federal legal retention requirements. Failure to preserve data. New logins were done on election machines after the election, which overwrote the previous data. Individuals were caught making unauthorized changes to voting machines. Data was purged in the days prior to handing over the machines for the audit. Multiple internet access points that Maricopa initially denied were clearly found in the Internet Artifacts Archives. Access and changes were made via the Internet through February 2021 and up to the day before the audit started. Internet access device tracking proves that not all evidence was provided as required for the audit. And it goes on and on and on. They're already trying to get in front of the anomalies found and the outright potential criminality by saying the recount shows he won by an additional 360 votes. Don't be fooled. Don't be conned. It's a lie.
And see, that's what I figured because, you know, like I said, it's gotten to the point where I hear anything from the media now. I take it with a grain of salt. I'm like, okay, I hear what's saying, but eventually we're going to hear more detailed evidence, and Sarge, you just gave that more detailed evidence, you know. So,
but wait a minute, let me put the biggest single thing that they found, and let me try to sum it up more succinctly. How did they do it? They entered the security system via a generic account for which they had a password. Whoever did this had to be in the system. Next, they ran a script that searched thousands of times for blank passwords, but there were only 16 accounts, all with passwords. What was the outcome of this? Because the memory allotted to security logs was limited, the new entries automatically overwrote old legitimate records on a first-in, first-out basis. This was done repeatedly until all the security files had been overwritten numerous times. Now, that is clear to me. It was criminal intent to illegally destroy election data that was required to be preserved under federal law for 22 months. And this was intentional. It wasn't an accident. See, now, you know, I know people are going to say, now, I guarantee you, they've already found similar results in Georgia. They're probably going to find similar results in Wisconsin and Michigan. And we already know about the violation of the Constitution in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Now, people are going to even if they do prove all that, nothing's going to be done. That may be true. It may not be true. I'm willing to say 60-40, nothing will be done. He'll get to stay in office, or the cackling hen will. One of the two will, okay? But what we need to do is get the truth out anyway, whether or not anything is done. That is essential because we need to short-circuit this administration. We need to slow it down and prevent it from accomplishing its onerous tasks at destroying this country. If we can do that, that'll be almost as good as throwing them out of office. If they, if we could prevent them from passing the kind of legislation that is going to destroy this country, that's as good as anything. The truth needs to come out. I don't think people are going to be as inclined to radically, fundamentally transform the United States with an administration that wasn't even legally supposed to be in office in the first place.
Yep. And let me hold right there. I gotta,
email me that report, would you?
Yeah, I'll send you that summary, Pionki. I'm sure you'll make use of it.
I sure will.
You know, but the thing, and another thing, too, man, did you see those Marxist, Leninist, racialist harpies in Arizona.
Oh, yeah, Arizona, ASU.
Yeah, Arizona State, yeah. My wife,
you know, we need to get
video.
Their number and tell them if they don't expel those three, my kid's not going there.
Oh, yeah. Man, that's the least of it. You know, I'm just saying, listen to these two, that unnatural, stilted language of the indoctrinated Marxist progressive. Who the hell
uses words
like "you're centered in my place"? What the hell new speak is that? It's right out of 1984. These people don't even speak like human beings.
Mm-mm, they don't, and they saying that whiteness is not a culture. And I'm sitting there like these girls, you know. And see, this is the problem we have in this country. And I was telling my wife earlier. I said this is where people go to get their liberal talking points processed is at college. You know, this it probably starts at home, but it really gets maximized when they go to these schools. And I'm listening to these girls, and I'm like, they sound like a bunch of little kids. Oh, this is not your space. We're not kicking you out. We're just asking you to leave.
You have a Police Lives Matter sticker on your computer.
Yeah,
you make me feel threatened.
Now, when those idiots asked this man, whiteness is not a culture, you know what he should have said to her? I'll tell you what I would have said in his place. I would have stood up and started defending the man since he didn't do it himself. I would have said, look, whiteness may not be a culture, but Western civilization is, and white people primarily built Western civilization. And what has Western civilization yielded to the world? And I could spend 10 hours going through just scratching the surface of the great things Western civilization has accomplished.
Yeah.
But this moron is so thoroughly indoctrinated in Marxism, Leninism, and racialism and critical race theory, she doesn't know that she's basking in the accomplishments of Western civilization just by being in a damn college.
I mean,
hell,
really.
By being in that damn room.
Man, with a computer, you bloody idiot.
I'm sitting there like, I said, now, this country,
three of them are heavily mixed. I would say that they got white mothers and black fathers, so they hate part of themselves.
They ought to be grateful they're alive. They wouldn't be alive without the white people in their genetic makeup.
I tell you, and one of them could pass for straight up white. I saw one. I was like, wait a minute, is she white or what?
Now, one of my people is Hispanic. Now, one of them was Hispanic, I'm pretty sure, and the other one was a black. You know, look, black people have a lot of Caucasian genealogy. She may or may not have a directly white parent. I mean, a mostly white parent or not. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, according to everything I've ever read, over 80% of black people living in the United States have some Caucasian genealogy. It's just a fact. It's likely to be reflected in any form at any time, depending upon the luck of the genetic draw.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what this woman
should realize is that she's a beneficiary of Western civilization, to which many people of many races have contributed, make no mistake about it, but predominantly Caucasians originating in Caucasian Europe and brought to its apogee in the United States of America created Western civilization.
Yep.
And that means the scientific method, the philosophical antecedents, the idea of liberty, the idea of free inquiry, the idea of free speech, all of those things are direct outgrowths of Western civilization.
Mm.
She's an imbecile. I hope to God at some point in her life she acquires some level of wisdom.
Mm. Yeah, because she ain't walking in right now.
Breath.
Yeah, I know that's right. My goodness. But, yeah, this is what goes on in a typical campus now. And all it started was, and I was saying earlier in the show, I said, now, supposing it had been the roles were reversed and was a black person with a Black Lives Matter sticker on their laptop, And when the white person said, oh, I'm offended by that. Oh, you need to get out of here and all that. Oh, my goodness. Joy Reid would have a field day.
They would have parades up and down the highway.
I mean, really.
You're right, man. These people in this movement, we need to stage a counter-revolution to this revolutionary movement seeking to fundamentally transform this country. We're going to have to stage a counter-revolution, and that counter-revolution is going to have to originate in the states. First of all, to obstruct these unconstitutional and tyrannical federal mandates increasingly being handed down by the Biden regime. That means we've got to get some governors with backbone willing to stand up against it, if necessary, with force of arms. And I said it, if necessary, with force of arms.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's going to have to come at state levels.
Well, let me pause you all right there. Let me get this last caller on. I only got a few minutes left. Let me get this last caller on. Hello, welcome to the show.
It's about time you put me on your show. I'm getting very upset here. In fact, I thought I was listening to another show. I thought this was the business show, but it seemed like the other two characters on you are Fruit Bat number two have taken over your show. And I'm just letting all three of y'all, this is Iredell Itis coming at you. I don't like that, but it's good to be on the show for fun and laugh. Now that's my rant, sweet and short to the point. But look, for what I've heard of you, the show that you are so correct, and you know, y'all are cast of characters. Y'all need to have a network by yourself. I'm through.
You never know it. You never know. It might happen one day. You never know. But I kind of agree with Sarge on that thing about, you know, counter-revolutionary. And see, that's why I started a show like this, because I want to stop the flow of these nefarious ideas that keep flowing around in our country, and I want to be one of those that help to block it. And we need more people with common sense out there, like a Sarge or a Pianchi or somebody like that. We need more people with common sense who are willing to go into detail and teach people this is how it is. You know, and not only do we don't need just a verbal revolution, we probably need a physical one too. And I hate to say that, but you know, the only way a lot of these things are going to change is if, you know, there might have to be some violence. I'm just going to be straight up and honest. You can judge me on that or whatever, but there might have to be some violence that needs to be brought forth. So, but. Anyway,
there's already been a lot of violence. The problem is, it's mostly on their side.
Yeah, exactly.
While they try to deny that it exists, 574 riots over the summer.
Yeah, exactly. So
dozens of,
you know,
dead people and thousands of injured police officers. Thousands.
And sometimes you got to fight fire with fire, man. I'm telling you. And that might be what it takes. You know, this is not going to be some passive little mamby-pamby type of a revolution that you need. It's going to take some hard-hitting rhetoric, some hard-hitting punches. It's going to take a lot, you know, to counter what we see coming across our country today. And really, I hate that it got to this point, but, you know, the signs were all there. The warnings were being brought forth. And people just chose to ignore it, and that's why we find ourselves in the mess that we're in today, because people are just ignoring the signs from the Watchtower. But anyway, I'm going to leave it on that note. You all, I want to give you all a shout-out to Iredell, to Pianchi, to Sarge. Always a pleasure having you all on here. And you all, hey, look, keep on standing for the truth, man. Just keep standing for the truth. We got to break down these barriers that we see in this country today. We need to break down the political barriers. We got to break down the woke barriers. We got to break down all of these barriers that's poisoning our land today. And if you don't speak out, it's like what I heard someone say one time. If you don't stand up for anything, if you don't stand up for what's right, you're going to fall for anything. But anyway, I'm gonna end the show on that note. Thank you guys for coming in and sharing your rhetoric and everything. This is Vincent E. Brown. I'm signing off. Until the next time, I'll see you on The Rebound. Y'all have a great Saturday.